Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is a great book. It's called Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, and you can tell it's a favorite by all the sticky notes I have in it. These authors spent many years in Papua New Guinea. They give example after example of how the interpretation of a text can be so different between two cultures. In the West, we read this text from our views on giving as a sacrifice. In fact, according to ChatGPT, sacrificial giving is the most popular sermon topic for this text. Our Western interpretation promotes the view that the widow is a model disciple, giving what little she has to live on. Many a fundraiser has been launched with this text. But if we read this text through the lens of the culture of first century Palestine, and specifically the Jewish temple system of giving, the message can sound much different. First, let's look at the widow. The Bible talks a lot about widows because they were one of the most vulnerable members of society. Men were often much, much older than their wives. So becoming a widow at a young age was a real possibility, and they didn't have Social Security or an insurance policy. Any inheritance would go to the son, and the widow would then be expected to go live with the oldest son, who would provide for her until she died. However, if she had no sons, or if her sons were too young to take on that responsibility, she was at the mercy of society. The death of a husband created a real threat for a widow. Maybe that's why the Bible has three stories of widows whose sons are brought back from the dead just so they could take care of them. Now let's look at the temple and its treasury. The temple in Jerusalem was a masterpiece of architecture. In the women's court of the temple, along the wall were 13 huge metal trumpet-shaped receptacles to receive offerings. Often the priest would announce the amount given and what it was given for. The first century historian Josephus said that in the temple treasury there were, and I quote, vast sums of money, vast piles of raiment and other valuables. For this, in short, was the general repository of Jewish wealth, unquote. The temple treasury was designed to make the rich get richer, to assure that the scribes and the religious leaders could keep living their opulent lifestyles. Finally, let's look at what happened in Mark's gospel before and after this story. Jesus has been exposing the hypocrisy of the scribes and religious leaders. He has triumphantly entered Jerusalem, drove the money changers from the temple, told the parable of the wicked tenants who killed the son of the owner of the vineyard. Now, Jesus gets very personal. He denounces the religious leaders because they want the best seats in the synagogue. They want the places of honor at the banquet. He tells them that they devour widows' houses. And then Jesus sees a widow. A poor widow came, and she cast in two small brass coins. The coins were lepta. Lepta had more value than our penny. Each lepta would be worth about 10% of a worker's hourly wage. maybe about a dollar or two in today's currency. They're too small to sustain her for long, but large enough to matter. Dulepta would buy a modest meal. Small coins, they hardly make a sound as she drops them into the metal receptacles. Only Jesus notices the two small clinks and understands their significance. Many interpreters say that the widow is being a good disciple. I mean, after all, Jesus told the rich man to go and sell all that he had. Other commentators note she's offering her whole life to God, keeping the greatest commandment. These interpretations seem compelling to our Western way of thinking. But I wonder if telling a rich man to sell his possessions for the poor is the same as telling a widow to give her last dime to the temple treasury, which is already overflowing with money. Can you imagine Jesus urging the destitute to give whatever little things they have to God? Have you ever seen any Hebrew Bible passages that demand everything from the needy? Perhaps this popular interpretation of the widow might be based on a misunderstanding of this text. Jesus' observation about the poor widow who sacrificed the only economic resources she had is the physical demonstration of Jesus' critique of the scribes who devoured the widow's homes. His disciples had heard it. Now they see it. Mark's narrative is further exposing the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. This story is more like a condemnation rather than a commendation. It highlights the way the temple treasury, i.e. the church, consumed the means of the poor. Even today, our structures of power in our society demand far more from the average person than it does of the rich. Warren Buffett is regularly at the top of Forbes' list of philanthropic givers. Over his lifetime, he's given about $3 billion of his own money to various charitable causes. That's approximately 38% of his total lifetime earnings, proportionately far less than the widow in our story. And according to ProPublica, Buffett's tax rate is about 0.1%. Contrast his tax rate, yours and mine, which can be about 1/4 to 1/3 of our total earnings. By commenting on the widow's actions, I would suggest that Jesus is not heaping praise on her for her generosity. He's indicting the system that keeps her poor. He's pointing out the hypocrisy of a system that demands giving to support greed. This leads to some tough questions about the widow. Why is she only down to two small coins? How did she get there? And how did the scribes and the religious leaders let that happen? Bryan Stevenson famously said, "The opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice." Right after Jesus observes a widow, he predicts the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the economic system of oppression that caused the widow to give all that she had. The hypocrisy is that the scribes failed to see their abundance was from God. They were being devoured by their own greed and self-righteousness, and thus they devoured widows' houses for more. What is devouring us? What consumes us? What drains the energy out of us? What things are leading to scarcity thinking? What systems of oppression are we complicit with? 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Reformation Sunday. I told Denise, I congratulated her on wearing red. Don't put your red away for another year. We are to reform society and our church every day, not just one Sunday out of the year. So this begs the question, why did the widow give? Why do we give? We give, but not because of a system that demands it of us. We give because we love our church. We give because we love the community that makes us church. We give because we want to make our world better. We give to fight poverty and hunger. We give because we believe in justice. We give because we love God and we are grateful for God's grace. We are called to change the systems of oppression and inequality. Let's remember the sound of the widow's coins when we do. So, dear church, come to the table and receive the priceless gift of grace. Then go and give from your hearts. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the hymn of the day.